It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The recent cycling death of Pitt educator Susan Hicks has resulted in an outpouring of sympathy from the city's close-knit biking community. This sad news comes as Pittsburgh Bike Share celebrates a successful season of its Healthy Rides program. I'm joined now in studio by David White. He's executive director of Pittsburgh Bike Share. David, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. What safety concerns do you have about cycling in Pittsburgh? Has the addition of bike lanes around Pittsburgh made biking safer? What more needs to be done? Again, the number 412-246-2002. And David, I'll begin by asking you how this tragedy, the tragic death of Susan Hicks, has impacted the biking community in Pittsburgh.
It's always difficult dealing with any type of intense tragedy like this one. And there's no guidebook to how to react to that. But Pittsburgh, the outpouring of support, the call to action, and the rallying efforts of the Pittsburgh cycling community have really been noteworthy. Over the past few days, we've seen dozens and hundreds and letters of interest and support pouring into local government, to our bicycle advocacy group, Bike Pittsburgh, and to rally the generation of people who is dissatisfied with the level of safety on our public streets.
And what exactly are the things that people are dissatisfied with when it comes to safety issues and cycling in Pittsburgh?
I think people now are comparing Pittsburgh and many other fields to larger cities, more successful cities, and this is an area that Pittsburgh still needs improvement on. So people are looking at other cities that have protected bikeways, they have separated lanes, they have built out infrastructure for bicycles and pedestrians, cities that place the movement of pedestrians and bicyclists first, where they prioritize the movement of people instead of the movement of automobiles. And I think we've made some steps in that direction in Pittsburgh, but we do have a long way to go.
And when you say protected bike lanes, what does that mean exactly?
So that's a separated bicycle feature on the roadway. So we're talking about separated area for cycling and walking.
So separated how?
Typically, they're separated by candlestick bollards.
Okay.
So you may be familiar with some that were recently installed on the Roberto Clemente Bridge, as an example.
And near Schenley too, I think.
Exactly.
They are there.
Yep, that's a good start. They have cities that have separated them using jersey barriers, using concrete structures, using separate elevations, just a slight rise in the street with a curb, or planter boxes, or other types of plantings, trees. There's a lot of creative ways of doing this.
Earlier on the day of the crash involving Susan Hicks, it was reported that city officials announced plans to extend a protected bike lane on Penn Avenue downtown. And in July, they said they would paint biking lanes on roads in Oakland, but not on the busy stretches of 5th and Forbes Avenue. This accident, this deadly accident, occurred along Forbes Avenue in Oakland. Are there bike lanes there, and if not, should there be?
There are not in this particular stretch. If you can picture this stretch of Forbes Avenue as you leave the University of Pittsburgh's campus and make your way toward Carnegie Mellon, very popular area for pedestrians, passing by some of the great attractions in our city, Schenley Plaza, the Carnegie Library, the Carnegie Museum. It's a four-lane road, a very heavily trafficked road that could use some updates. There are no bike lanes. There are no pedestrian or bike infrastructure in that section of the city.
You would think that there would be, and obviously there are, people coming through there on bikes. You know, mm-hmm. it's an education corridor. You have all these university buildings from you know, up along the Pitt campus, certainly, and on through past where CMU is. So you would think there would be bike lanes there. What is the reason that has been given for why they are not there? The city, for example, said they don't want to put them on the busy stretches of Forbes and Fifth, but why would that be? I mean, is it any worse there than Penn Avenue downtown?
I don't think I can speculate what the city's reasoning is behind that.
But have they given you any kind of explanation? Have you pushed for one?
And that's not as much our responsibility as the bike share operators. So we help to increase the visibility of cycling by offering quick trips around the city with Pittsburgh Bike Share. We do have tremendous partners in Bike Pittsburgh, which, despite us having similar names, we're totally separate organizations. They're great advocates for biking and walking in the city. So the city is not, you know, personally giving us any indication of the speed of their bike infrastructure plans, but we work closely with them to try to coordinate our station locations. We're always thinking about what's the safest way for people to get around the city and how do we include some active component of that.
In a perfect world, what would you like to see? Assuming that the city is listening to what someone like you has to say, David, what would you tell them?
In a perfect world, we'd see safe, separated connections for people who are getting off the T and getting onto a bus. We'd see elevated, separated sidewalks that indicate to motorists that pedestrians come first here, that the crosswalk signs that we see oftentimes moved out of the way or kind of put off to the side of the road by trucks or other motorists should be permanent features that visibly demand the attention of our motorists to say, hey, this is an area that pedestrians come first. And I think once you do that, you'll start to see cyclists feel more comfortable. You'll see drivers moving a little bit more slowly at safer speeds. And I think you'll find safer streets for everyone.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with David White. He's executive director of Pittsburgh Bike Share. And you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. If you are a biker, what things do you do to make it safer for yourself? What precautions do you take in order to ensure that you are safe as you make your way amongst traffic, cars, buses, and other things that are out there? What do you think, David, bikers can do to be more proactive in terms of ensuring their own safety?
Sure, great question.
And again, it should be emphasized, too, that with regard to Susan Hicks, there is no indication that there's anything more that she could have done to ensure her safety. But we see, for example, we might see someone taking up an entire lane, as I did yesterday in Oakland, on a bike, which is something I would be afraid to do myself. So what types of advice would you have for bikers? What types of things do you tell them already?
We work closely with Bike Pittsburgh. So they have a tremendous cycling in the city class. They have educational materials. They do tremendous amounts of outreach into the neighborhoods to teach people the great and safe ways of cycling in the city. So kind of the heart of that is constantly being cognizant of your surroundings, taking the personal safety measures into your own hands that you are capable of. That includes, using both front and rear lights if you're riding at night, wearing a helmet, wearing clothing that is not loose fitting, that wouldn't, have an opportunity to get snagged in your spokes or your chain. We rely on Bike Pittsburgh a lot to sort of encourage all around safe behaviors. People can make tremendous gains in their own sort of personal safety by just paying attention to the stoplights and the streetlights and moving in a way that's predictable. However, in Susan's case, as you mentioned, it's difficult to find a way to think that tragedy could have been prevented without some type of separated infrastructure.
Dan on Twitter says, recognize that these tragedies have a cause and that they are preventable. This was a crash, not an accident. Indeed, it was a crash. and they are referred to as accidents. I don't think anybody intentionally, I wasn't there. No one can know for sure, but it doesn't seem as though anybody intentionally was trying to run into anyone else, tragically, on Forbes Avenue that day. Are more people biking on city streets in Pittsburgh and commuting that way?
Absolutely.
But yeah. what are the numbers telling you?
You know, we just released our ridership data for the third quarter of 2015. So with 50 stations throughout the city, Healthy Ride has 500 bikes that are out there for casual use, commuting, recreational use. We had 40,000 trips for the third quarter. That's July, August, and September. So that, you know, just some quick math, that's about 440 trips per day that we've seen. You know, that's a huge increase just over the past 6 months. And then, you know, the census data is very clear about the gains that Pittsburgh has made in mode share, seeing people use walking and biking as a way for commuting.
What do you suppose is triggering that? What is leading people to say, you know, because it's a lot easier, especially in the wintertime. You know, it's warmer. You're in the car. It's certainly, you know, something that is people are used to. And what the city is rightly or wrongly built for. We still have that old infrastructure that I'm sure has an effect on making it a little harder to implement the bike infrastructure. And we can get into that in a moment. But what do you suppose is changing people's mindset about biking?
I think there's several things there. Number one, you know, our office is in the Strip District. We're at 33rd and Penn Avenue. I just rode my bicycle over here. It took me 17 minutes to get here. That would have probably been a half an hour trip in a car to get out to my car, to drive across through downtown, across into the south side and find a parking spot and get here. I would have needed to have counted on a half an hour for that. In many cases, riding a bicycle in Pittsburgh is the fastest way to get around the city. And then you see sort of a shift in generational thinking about how we want to move around our city. Do we want to be in a car by ourselves, contributing to some of the, you know, the congestion and the dangerous increases in our environmental impacts? Or do we want to build a little bit of activity in our day to just jump on a bicycle to feel, you know, to put a smile on your face and get somewhere in a quick time and feel that sense of freedom that we all felt as young people?
Will the Healthy Ride bikes be available during the winter?
Absolutely.
And is it, you know, what types of things do you encourage people to do to prepare for that? I mean, it's coming. We're in late October, so it could start snowing tomorrow, for all we know. What are the concerns that you have on top of all of the other safety concerns when there's ice and snow out there, and you're still encouraging people to bike?
Yep, and that's a great question. Just as you would slow down a little bit, give yourself a little extra time on your commute in the mornings on a snow and icy day, we're just recommending the very same practices on a bicycle. You can bundle up, you can grab a bicycle and maybe split it up into smaller chunks so that you stop at a different station, you go in, warm up, have a cup of tea. You know, there's lots of different ways that people can prepare themselves for winter. Cities like Chicago operate year-round. Boston operates year-round. We see people that embrace the cold weather and still want to have some activity as part of their daily routine.
412-246-2002. We have Jared on the line with some advice. He must be a biker. Jared, welcome. How are you?
Hey, thanks, Paul. Yeah, just I want to say that, you know, when you're out there, you know, kind of in between being a pedestrian and a motor vehicle on a bicycle, and it's okay, like you said, to, you know, take your time. And even if you find yourself in a hairy patch, especially once your shoulders disappear in the wintertime, and it's okay to get off your bike and walk it a little bit if you find, like, a pack of traffic behind you that's kind of acting funny, you know? And,
sure.
You know, it's just so much more dangerous out there on a bike. It's, you know, it's just good advice to take it easy and give yourself that extra 5 minutes, like, you know, your guest said before, you know?
Just like when you're driving a car, you know, if you don't want to rush, if you don't want to take unnecessary risks, you leave a little earlier so that you're not in that panic state and maybe, you know, going through the red light, you know, in the first couple of nanoseconds after it's turned red, trying to avoid that. And one of the things that I have noticed, and Jared, I appreciate the call, but one of the things I have noticed, David, is that sometimes, not often, but you'll see a biker kind of weaving around cars in traffic, and to me that just seems really risky. What would be your advice about that?
You know, this is something that people ask me about frequently, and it turns out that this is really a big matter of perception. There is now increasing research and evidence that shows that cyclists are no more likely to do things like weave through traffic or roll through stop signs than motor vehicles are. When we're in our car, you know, I own cars. When we're in our car, we see cyclists, and the perception is that they're different. They're the other. You're able to see them more often. But the fact of the matter is, you're the last caller mentioned this, but it's much more dangerous moving in a vehicle than it is on a bicycle. It's more dangerous in a vehicle than on an airplane. Crashes are things that we have internalized as just part of our daily lives. When we see vehicles drive into a building, drive into a storefront, we look at it and say, boy, that's a terrible accident. These things are not things that we should be internalizing and saying, this is just part of it. This is just something that we have to deal with. These are things that we can prevent. And by taking a serious look at how we prioritize movement in our cities, we can prevent these things.
David White is executive director of Pittsburgh Bike Share. And again, the bikes will be available all through the winter, correct?
Yes, sir.
So don't think that nobody has to adjust their commuting habits just because the weather's getting bad. You're nodding, but we're on radio, so you just need to say yes.
I'm sorry. I don't think people should adjust their habits. Of course, on extra cold days, you know, there's other forms of transit out there. When it gets below zero, I personally like to jump on the bus. But, you know, that's up to each individual.
The good news is you can read that way.
Sure.
Yeah. You don't want to do that either on a bike or in a car,
yeah,
for that matter.
Yeah, exactly. For all those folks that I see texting on their drives in the morning.
David White, executive director of Pittsburgh's Bike Share, joining us in studio to talk about the recent statistics in terms of participation by bikers in Pittsburgh. And I'm sure you wouldn't be surprised to hear that biking is up on the streets of Pittsburgh. David,
yes, it is.
David, thank you so much for being
with us.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Coming up, we'll look at which sites made the list of Pittsburgh's top 10 preservation opportunities. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Good job.